Happy Sabbath, church. So great to see you. I had a wonderful time this morning with that Sabbath school. I learned a lot. I want to praise the Lord for that. And I want to encourage each one of you to come for Sabbath school. I mean, for those that come early in the morning, there is always a blessing, especially for those that seek the Lord in the morning. So this morning we did have a great blessing. And I will encourage all of those to make an effort to come early so that you could learn. It's a great experience, especially because you're not only see what God is doing through the life of your brothers and sisters, but also you could share what God is doing in your life. So that is always rewarding. Now, despite of what is happening up there, what is happening in our communities, what is happening in our cities, what is happening in this nation, there are good things that are happening in this church. How many of you say amen? Tomorrow we'll begin, and I know it was already announced, and tomorrow we'll begin the 30 days of prayer. Do we need prayers? Sure we do. We need to be connected with God. We need to be close to our Lord. And the only way that we could do that is by praying, is by speaking to the Lord. And tomorrow we'll begin those 30 days of prayer, but we don't want to do it alone. That's why we're doing it with partners. So I just hope that you have your partner already so that you could start praying beginning tomorrow. Now, usually it's easier for us just to pray for whatever it comes, right? But we want to be specific. So beginning tomorrow, you have been given a list of things that we are going to be praying about. And the first thing that we're going to be praying is surrender. With surrender, there is commitment. So we need to surrender ourselves first. And the way of surrendering ourselves or surrendering our life to our Lord is by telling the Lord in prayer. Another thing that we are going to be praying for during these 30 days of prayer is unity. Do we need unity? Yes, my brothers and sisters, we need unity. These are the times that we need to come together more than ever. So we need to come in unity, not just in unity with the Lord, but also in unity with one another. Because we are the body of Christ. Yes? We are the body of Christ, so we need to come together in unity. And another thing that we need to be praying about is total member involvement. We need to be involved. Yes or no? We are to be involved. We all need to come together and we need to be involved. And what a way to come involved. First, to pray with one another. That is such a remarkable thing to do as Christians. And the other thing is that we need to be praying about that empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Because without that, we can do nothing, right? We can do nothing. We read the call to worship today that when the disciples came together and that they gathered in that room, in that upper room, and they pray and they ask for that empowerment of the Holy Spirit, what happened? It came. And it was until then that they were able to carry on with God's mission. And you know what your mission is. You know what it is. You know what the mission of the church is. At least I know what my mission is. Mostly, everybody will say, well, the mission of the pastor is to lead the church. But not necessarily. Because my mission as a son of God is what? To preach the gospel. to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to share that there is hope in Jesus Christ, to share that there is life, that there is salvation in Jesus. And Jesus is soon to return. So we are to share that with others. So that's what we need to do, my brothers and sisters. Every month, we have an emphasis. And our emphasis for this month is what? Commitment. Are you committed to the work of God? Are you committed to surrender your life to Jesus? Are you committed to be in unity with one another and with Jesus Christ? Are you committed to be involved in the work of the church? Are you committed to ask for that empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Those are the things that we're emphasizing this month. Now, if you read your bulletins, you saw the title of the sermon, A Winning Witness. Now, all of us are called to be witnesses, yes? We are all called to be witnesses. But not just to be witnesses. We are called to be... to be what? Successful witness. That's what you and I are called to be. Not just a mediocre witness, but a successful one. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to be able to give us that discernment, what we need in order to understand this message, in order to understand what God has for us this morning. So let us pray again. Our Heavenly Father, we want to ask that you empower us, Lord, with the power of discernment. We ask for the Holy Spirit to clear our minds, to open the doors of our hearts, so that we could surrender ourselves to you first, Father, so that we could treasure what you have for us. The message that you have for us this morning, Father, I want to ask that it come from above, that it come from you, so that way we could receive those blessings. But not just those blessings, Lord, of the message, but the blessings of the things that we could do with that message. The blessings that we could actually do for others. You have called us, Father, to be committed. To be committed disciples. To be committed witness to you. So that many other people, Father, will come to surrender their life. So that very soon we could take that journey. That journey that will lead us to heaven. That journey that will gather all of us in heaven, but mostly so that we could live for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before I start, let me just share, and I was just, I don't know, that the Spirit is actually leading me to share with you 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me tell you, that's a wonderful, if you want to dedicate your time in reading of the Scripture, that is actually a good book that you could actually start with, and especially chapter 2. But let me just read to you 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Look what the Word of God says. Do your best to present yourself to what? To whom? To God as approved. Is that what your Bible said? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, or who correctly handles the word of truth. With that in mind, let's see what God has for us this morning. You know that many people, believe it or not, many people today, and this might be your case too, will ask the question, why should I win souls? Have you ever asked that? Why? Why? Why do I win souls? What for? Is there a need for that? And many people ask that question because they believe and they think that winning souls is the job of the preacher, is the job of the minister. That's the work of the pastor. That's what many people believe. That's what many people think. And that's what sometimes they ask that kind of question. Why do I need to win souls? But as Christians, we know that that's our job. Yes? That is our work. That is the mission. That is what God had entrusted me with. Not just me as a pastor, but you also as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what God had entrusted every Christian, to win souls for Jesus. Now, some of us need to confess this morning that we are not very good at doing that. Yes? I'm to confess this morning that I'm not very good at that. I'm not good at winning souls for Jesus. But let me tell you that that's where it starts. For you to become a successful witness for God, you need to realize, you need to understand that if we try to do this work that God had entrusted us alone, we're not going to be successful. Our job is going to be mediocre. It's not going to be great. And that's why we are to confess that we're not good at witnessing or being good witnesses for Jesus. However, the Bible says that we are witnesses. Yes or no? That's what the Bible said. It's not me. I'm not telling you that. I'm not inventing that. That's what the Bible says. But we may be good, bad, or indifferent witnesses, but the fact remains that we are to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's what we are to be. Now, the word witness or soul winning often creates fear. Yes? Anxiety. Has that happened to you? I want to be a witness. And when I hear the word, oh man, I get anxiety. I get fear because I don't know how to do it. Or, for some, it creates guilt. Because we're not being good witnesses, right? And that's what we are called to be. But one thing that we need to understand is that we are commissioned by our Creator, by our Master, by the one who has taught us to be good witnesses. We are commissioned to do exactly that. Now, most of you might be asking, but I don't know how to do that. How in the world I do that? For some of us, it might be very easy. And it starts by loving one another. That's where it starts. Just like Jesus loves you, we are to love whom? Our neighbors. That's what the Bible says, right? We are to love our neighbors. And believe it or not, the first thing that we need to do, including loving one another, loving our neighbors, is to commit, to surrender ourselves to that commission. That's what it is. So what does it take for you to commit yourself to be a witness to God, a witness for Jesus? What will it take? What will it take, my brothers and sisters, for you to carry on with this mission. Now, let me share with you. A few pointers that will help us to be good witness for Jesus. The question that most people try to answer in their own without going to the Bible is, why soul witness or winning matters? So if I ask you this morning, does it matter? Does it? Winning souls for Jesus, does it matter? Why? Yes, the first thing is, that's our job, right? That's our commission. That's our mission. But if we go in the Bible, we're probably going to understand a little bit more about it. So I just want to share six, all right, reasons. And there's so many. There's a lot, okay? But I want to share six reasons this morning. Why soul winning matters, and it should matter to us. The first is that Satan hates man. Do you know that? Do you know that Satan hates you? At least I know Satan hates me. And he hates me because he doesn't want me to be close to God. This morning I experienced that. This morning, believe me, it felt so good to be in bed. It felt so good. I didn't want to get up. And I said, like, wow, let me stay like 10 more minutes. And sometimes that happens to you, that those 10 minutes turns into maybe 30 minutes, an hour. Next thing you know, you're like, oh, man, I go next time. Why? Satan hates man. He hates us. Let's go to John chapter 10, verse 10. Look what the Bible says. And I'm not saying this just to say it, because I know the Bible says it. Look at what it says, John 10, verse 10. My Bible says, the thief comes only to what? To steal. And what? And kill. And what? And destroy. So, what Satan's want to do with you? He wants to steal everything that God has given you. And that includes the blessing of staying in bed and not coming to receive the blessings in the house of the Lord. He wants to steal that from you. He wants to steal those moments. He wants to steal those blessings that you could receive. He wants to take that away from you because he hates you. But besides that, he wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. But if it's one thing that I know for sure, that's what Satan wants, right? But can he do that? Ah, you see, there is power in the Word of God, amen? Because if you read the second part of that verse, Jesus said, I have come that they may have what? Life, and have it abundantly. That's what Jesus said. So my brothers and sisters, there is nothing that Satan could do. He could hate you, but he cannot destroy you. He cannot kill you. He cannot steal what belongs to you unless you allow him to do that. Because easily this morning I could have just stayed in bed. Right? Could have just said, hey, I'll go next Saturday. I call Andrew. By the way, Andrew needs to preach. So I would have called Andrew and I would have said, Andrew, it's your turn to preach this morning. It's your turn to deliver the message for the Lord this morning. It could be easy, right? It will only take a phone call, right? But guess what? I didn't want that enemy to steal what belongs to me. the blessings. Because if it's one thing that I know for a fact, is that every time I deliver the message, every time I deliver the word of God, the blessing is for me. And that's what I know. So I know for a fact that Satan, even though he hates me, he cannot take that away from me unless I permit it. Unless I allow him to take that away from me. Now the Bible says that Satan seeks actually to blind the minds of humans so that they will not believe the gospel. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 4, it will tell you exactly that. That Satan wants to blind you, okay? So that you don't see and so that you don't believe the gospel. And in Revelation chapter 9:11, Satan is called. There is two names that Satan, the Bible, refers to. Okay? What is the name if you go to Revelation chapter 9:11? What is those names? Okay? And it's actually in Greek. Abaddon is one. Okay? And the other one is Apollyon. What does that mean? Abaddon means destruction, right? So, the Bible names Satan the destroyer. Yes or no? And because that's what the root from that word, Apollyon, that means destroyer. So that's what Satan is. Satan is a destroyer. He wants to deceive people. He wants to destroy people. But as we know, he can't do that unless we allow him to do that. So we see that Satan's names vary in many ways. And we could see it. He is called the destroyer. He is called what? The dragon. So we see it through the Bible. Okay? But why will Satan want to destroy us? Why? Do you know? Because he hates us, right? No. Because he dislikes whom? God. That's exactly right. And you know that God, Jesus already defeated him. So he knows he can do nothing against God, directly to God. He can do anything. But guess what? You and I were created to the image of whom? Of God. So that's why the only resources that he has is to try to destroy you, to try to destroy me, so that he could get back at God. That's why. My brothers and sisters, that's why Satan wants to destroy us in particular. But isn't that amazing that God gives us the strength? God gives you the power of resistance. Amen? Because can you resist the temptation of the enemy? Yes, you could. And that, you could only do it by the word of God, by the power of God. Now, another thing, why soul winning matters. So we know because Satan hates men, right? So we are to preach the gospel to others. That yes, Satan hates us, but Jesus what? Loves us and cares for us. The second thing is, why soul winning matters? Because sin is death. Do you understand that part? Now, the Bible said that the wages of sin is what? So our sin will cause us to what? To die. That's what Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says. And that God will judge humans for what? Their sins. That's what Romans chapter 2, 6. That's what it says. Of course, the end result will be the lake of what? Of fire. That's what it is. Sin will take us to the lake of what? Of fire. Because death, or the first death that we experience, is not actually the wages of sin. Because the Bible described that kind of death to be what? Sleep. Right? So you're not death. You're not dead completely. Or you're not dead at all at that point. Because the Bible says that when Jesus comes, those who remain faithful to him will what? Will rise again. And they will live with him for what? Forever. But they will go to heaven. They will live there for 1,000 years. And after that 1,000 years, what's going to happen? Huh? Then the second death will come. And the lake of fire. It's not how people show it to us. And that's why we're witnesses. That's why we need to show people the truth. It's not what people think the hell is going to be. Okay? That when you die, and if you didn't die in Christ, you're going to live in hell for eternity. That's not what the Bible says. Okay? Why? Because that's what Jesus came for us, right? That's why Jesus died on the cross. To give us life. To give it abundantly. That's what he says. So, why soul winning matters? Because sin is death. But forgiveness is what? Pardon is what? It's life. Especially if we get it from Jesus. Life is what Jesus will give you. The Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 11. What about people that don't know this truth? You know, there are people up there that they said, hey, you know what? I'm not a good person anyways. I'm going to die. And they have no hope. And they live in terror. Yes? Because there is no hope. But the Bible teaches the reason why we are witness for Jesus is because we are to tell the world the truth. We are to tell people that, yes, there is hope. And that hope is in Jesus. Amen? And we are to tell people, yes, that even though the wages of sin is death, but there is life in Jesus Christ. That's why winning souls matter, my brothers and sisters. That is why. Now, the third thing that we learn about winning souls matter is that God saves us. Yes? Who is the only one who can save us? It's God. Look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20 says. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. So what God is doing right now? He's what? Reconciling the world, not counting sins. Okay? That's not what God is doing. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to whom? To God. Now, if it's one thing that God does in our life, is reconciliation. Amen? And not just reconcile with the Lord, but reconciling with one another. Reconciling with our brothers and sisters. I don't know how you came this morning. I don't know your burdens. But I know for sure that God knows them. Amen? God knows mine. And if my burden is that I have something against my brother or my sister, guess what? God is putting that in my heart so that I could, what? Reconcile with them. The Bible even says that we are to love our enemies. Yes? So that means we are to even reconcile with our enemies because God loves them too. And God wants us to speak the truth to all up there that God is not to condemn you, but God is to reconcile them. Amen? That's why it's important. Souls, or winning souls, matters, my brothers and sisters, because God wants us to show the world that Jesus loves them. But another thing is, why in this day soul winning is important, or why soul winning matters, is because the clock is ticking. Yes? Is it? Are we coming to the end? Are we near the end? Are we living at the end? Yes, my brothers and sisters, we are. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12 says, "And do this, understanding the present time." Do you understand your present time? Do you understand in the times that you're living? The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is near now than when we first believe. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of what? Of light. My brothers and sisters, the end is near. We are living at the end of times. Just look around you. Just look at the things that are happening. That's exactly what the Bible says, yes? That when the end comes, it's going to be like the times of what? Of Noah. What was happening in the times of Noah? Exactly what is happening right now. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that parents are going to turn against what? Children. Yes or no? Is that happening? Children are going to turn against what? Father or parents. Is that happening right now? Just not that far from here in Pleasanton. A 42-year-old man punched his mom, broke her nose, her front tooth, teeth. Is that something that a child of God will do? So we are living on those times, my brothers and sisters. Now, look at it in the news. What's happening? You know, I mentioned a few times that sometimes I'm even scared to look at the news because I don't even know. The whole world lives in terror. Yes? Look at what happened in Hawaii. Just for a wrongdoing. You know, the message that happened. What happened with people? They thought what? That was the end, right? They thought that it was the end. But nonetheless, my brothers and sisters, we are living in the end of times. We're living on those times that people are actually going against God. But I praise God that at least there are people that are what? Turning to God. And that's why God needs you. That's why God needs me to tell people that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We know for a fact that this world is coming to an end, because the Bible says this world is going to end. Amen? And we should be praiseful for that, because you know what? This world is going to end. This sinful world is ending, but something better is what? Is coming. So we should be what? Happy about that. Because I don't want to live like this no more. I don't even know if I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I don't even know if an atomic bomb or a rocket is going to come here and is going to end us, vaporizing us like nothing. I don't want to end like that. But if I do, I want to end knowing that I have Jesus in me. That I have Jesus that will give me the blessing of salvation. That's why I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm not afraid. Because I walk with Jesus. Jesus is the one that takes care of me. So I'm not afraid. But how many people up there are afraid? How many people? How many people now they close behind doors? They don't even want to come out because they're afraid that they're going to get killed. How many people just come out of their house and someone just passed by and bam, dead? That's what's happening right now. But my brothers and sisters, your job and my job is to tell the world that even though if we fade tomorrow, if we die tomorrow, let it be dying with Jesus than without Jesus. And that's what Jesus needs us. That's why soul winning matters, my brothers and sisters. Because we are at the end of that time. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the end will come until the gospel is what? Is preached. When the gospel is spread all over. Until then, when everybody knows the good news, the news of salvation, until then, the end will come. But it is your responsibility, it is my responsibility to carry on with that mission, to witness, to be good witness for God. Now, another thing that we learn about soul winning matters is fellowship with God. How do you fellowship with God? Let's read John chapter 12, verse 26. How do we fellowship with God? The Bible says in John 12, 26, whoever serves me must follow me. Is that what your Bible says? Whoever serves me must what? Must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves whom? Me. So my brothers and sisters, one way of fellowship with God is to be every time with whom? With God. If I serve God, I fellowship with Him. Yes? And if I fellowship with Him, that means I will serve Him. That's what the Bible said. The way for many Christians to be in real fellowship and happiness with God is to witness to the lost around Him day by day. How many times have you missed that opportunity to share Jesus with others? How many times? As a matter of fact, we don't even know how many times. Because we are not with God every day, day by day. We're not fellowshipping with God every day. That's why we don't even notice. That's why when we walk, that's why when we drive, that's why when we work, that's why when we're doing activities and things like that, we don't even notice and we don't even care about sharing Jesus with others. But God has called us, my brothers and sisters, day by day. If we want a fellowship with God, we are to share Jesus with others. And I'm not here to judge it. I'm not. I'm just here to speak of the truth. To speak the word of God. Because it happens to me. How many times have I missed opportunities? How many times, most likely, I have been weak? How many times I have been ashamed of sharing the gospel with others? Do not let the things of this world, my brothers and sisters, distract you. Do not let the things of this world dictate what you need to do for Jesus Christ. Allow Jesus to dictate what you need to do for Him. And that's why fellowship with God is very important. Another thing is, Christ is our example. Amen? Christ is our example. If we go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, look what the Word of God says. When He, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Now, who is our shepherd? It's Jesus. Now, the Word of God said that Jesus had compassion. My question to you is, do you have compassion for others? Do you have compassion for your siblings? Do you have compassion for your spouse? Do you have compassion for your relatives? Do you have compassion for your friends? Do you have compassion for your neighbor? Do you have compassion for your boss? Do you have compassion for your co-workers? Do you have compassion for your fellow classmates? Do you have compassion for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Jesus does have compassion for all of them. Jesus has compassion for you. So we are to follow Jesus' example, my brothers and sisters, and to have compassion for others. Do you want your family to be saved? Compassion. To preach them. To share Jesus with them. Do you want your neighbors to be saved? Compassion. Spend time. Dedicate some time to share Jesus with them. Do you want your boss, even though you might not like it, like him or like her? But do you want him or her to be saved? You know, that's the things that enemy does. Sometimes he put in our minds, I don't like this guy. I don't want this guy to be in heaven. But guess what? Jesus has compassion because Jesus died for that person. Jesus wants to save that person. And that is your job. That is my job to share that compassion, to be compassionate with them and to share Jesus with them. Compassion, my brothers and sisters. The Lord had compassion and wept over Jerusalem. We as Christians will never win people to Christ until we have compassion for the multitude of the lost sinners around us. We'll never win souls for Jesus if we don't have compassion for them. You say, well, I don't have a burden. Then you, above all people, want to get out and tell others about Christ. When you do, then God will give you a burden. The flesh never wants to serve God, but the people in God want to serve God. Because that's what it is. Our flesh don't allow us to serve God. Our flesh don't allow us to have compassion for others. That's why it's important for us to be in accordance with the will of God. So, does winning soul matters? Does it matter? Yes, my brothers and sisters. And real quick, how can we become then winning witness for Christ? Real quick. One, spend time with Christ. Amen? A principle for effective witnessing of the gospel is to spend time with Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 13 says, the community took note that this man has been with Jesus. Everybody around the disciples, they took notice. They know that they have fellowship with Christ. They knew that they were disciples of Jesus. Why? Because they spent time with Jesus. And that's the only way, my brothers and sisters, that you could become a successful and effective winning witness for the Lord. The only way is the people up there, your friends, noticed that you have spent time with Jesus. The second thing is seek with conviction. You have to be convicted first. How can you go and preach? How can you go and share Jesus with others if you yourself are not even convicted? So seek with conviction. The primary way to spend time with Christ is by seeking Christ through prayer. Jesus said to seek first His kingdom. Through prayer, we identify with Christ, love others in Christ. That's the only way. There is no other way, my brothers and sisters. So we first need to seek Christ with conviction. In Acts chapter 4, verse 25, it says, or 24, and I'm just going to summarize it. In verse 24 through 30, it reveals that the saints pray in unity. That means that the disciples had come in unity with the Lord because they were convicted. And they pray. And they seek Christ. And that's when they become in unity. The same pray with intensity as they ask for boldness. They understood the battle for souls is not for timid or lukewarm Christians. Engaging in the fight for the eternal destiny of souls require an intense effort, my brothers and sisters. And the only way that you could do that is if you seek with conviction. Another way, the third way to becoming a successful witness for God or for the Lord is speak with confidence. You have to have confidence. God answers their prayer. He answered the prayers according to Acts chapter 4, 31. Because they pray with boldness. That's what the Bible said. Understanding the text could read, they responded with obedience to speak with boldness. God did not remove the obstacles. The obstacles are always there, yes? Obstacles are always going to be there. But when you speak with boldness, it doesn't matter what obstacles you have in front of you. It doesn't matter. People will still hear the truth. People will still hear the word of God. The disciples, my brothers and sisters, even though they were criticized, even though they were persecuted, even though they were killed, they still spoke with boldness. Even in the midst of death, they still spoke with boldness, my brothers and sisters. Paul, as a matter of fact, even in prison, he spoke with boldness. It didn't matter. It didn't matter the obstacles that he had in front of him. When you are committed to be a witness to the Lord, it doesn't matter. Even in your bed, even in your sickness, you could still seek the Lord. Even in your bed, even in your struggles, even with your burdens, my brothers and sisters, you could still have compassion. You could still speak with confidence. And that is the last and third to become a successful witness of the Lord. Share with compassion. Share with caring. Share that you care. The command to witness for Christ is not just a military assignment that we execute as an obedient soldier. Christ honoring witnessing flows from a compassionate heart. The Bible says that Jesus had compassion when he saw the multitudes. Love draws lost souls to Christ, and love drives Christians to win souls. Amen. So, my brothers and sisters, winning souls matters. Winning souls matters. We have the best training resources that money can buy. We think that money is everything. Sometimes we think, oh, I will give this much so that the gospel is spread. If money would have been the resource for witnessing for God, believe me, my brothers and sisters, I would probably say the gospel had spread all over. You know why? Because God owns everything, even money. But God wanted something better than that. God wanted you, not money. God wanted me to seek the lost, because there is something beneficial to ourselves by doing that. People reach people. Money doesn't reach people, even though we think that the money reach people. But the Bible says the people reach people. And who are you going to believe, money or the Word of God? The Word of God, my brothers and sisters. Disciples who see the commission, spend time with Christ, seek with conviction, speak with confidence, and share with compassion, can expect a loving God to use their winning witness to save souls. So my question to you is, won't you be faithful and go out there and win souls for Jesus? Wouldn't you commit yourself to speak with confidence, to speak with boldness? That is the only way that you and I will win souls for Jesus. And when the Lord comes, He will be able to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So my prayer is that all of us commit ourselves to winning souls for Jesus. We're going to stand and we're going to sing, and then we're going to have our closing prayer. But I want to invite you, all of you, to start fellowship, to fellowship with one another. So we have potluck, so you all are invited to stay. So as soon as we're done here, we could all walk and we could all share with one another the love that Jesus Christ has for us in the fellowship hall.
give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way with me. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way.
I had shared this wonderful book with all that our leaders. And I want to share this with you. If you have not received this book, I want to see some of the deacons could help me pass this out. This wonderful book, Ministry to the City. If it's one thing that we know, the souls that are most lost are the ones in the cities. So take this book, read it. It will bless you in many ways. But it will guide you how to become a successful soul winning or winning soul for Jesus Christ. If you haven't received it, if there is more, I have more. Tony, take this. I have more. I have a few more in the office. Raise your hand. Huh? Sure. If not, what I could do is they're in that shelf, somewhere there on the right shelf, the bottom in the middle. All right? That's where they are. So if you haven't received this book, don't leave. All right? You will get it. Okay? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for these beautiful moments that we have with you. Thank you, Father. Because you have called us to be the light of the world. Father, give us the strength. Give us the means. Also, allow us, Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to have compassion for others. So that way, Lord, many people out there that are struggling, many people that are dying without hope, many people that they think that there is no salvation, will know the truth, that there is hope, that there is salvation in Jesus Christ. So, Father, allow us to be successful witness for you, Lord. Allow us, Father, to be successful, to speak with boldness in our family, in our houses, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our churches, in our communities, in the streets, that every person that you put in front of us, Lord, will know that Jesus lives in us. Father, as we take some moment to fellowship with you, we want to thank you for the bread of life. Thank you for the word of God. But thank you also for the physical bread that you always prepare, that you always provide for us. Thank you, Lord. And as we eat together, we want to be thankful to you and thankful to all those that have provided too. Father, if there are struggles, if there are problems, Lord, I want to ask that you do in each of those lives that are struggling, in each of those lives that probably they're sick, that you do, Lord, according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.